Good to have you here. For those of you that are new to CDK, as Sarah mentioned, we're in our second week of our Going Glocal, our thinking about what ministry is happening in this place and through this place. People often ask, well, what does CDK do? What's going on in ministry? So usually in February this time of year, we love to take a little pause from our teaching series and think about what does generosity produce in the world? What is being available for God in your time and abilities produce for kingdom agenda in the world? So last week we had a chance to kind of dive into what happens internally. What are the teaching ministries about at CDK and what does that look like? If you miss that Sunday, you can always go online. All these messages are recorded and you can see some of those impacts. But what we opened up last week was beginning to understand the difference between a worldview and a biblical view of what generosity looks like. And how does generosity drive the impact of mission that God calls to be about? What does it look like when we're experiencing God and He's setting us free to live for Him with a distinct purpose and mission in our world? What does that look like? Last week we opened up putting kind of as the basics coming out of 1 Chronicles that everything we have comes from God. That's the core principle. Everything we have comes from God. That's a biblical worldview. If you live in a secular worldview, you're thinking everything comes from me and my efforts and my ways. But it's not the case. Everything is from God. What we sang in that song a moment ago, one of my favorite worship songs, Great Are You, Lord. The Chronicler in 1 Chronicles 29 lays it out like this. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Agreed? Everything is from Him. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Because everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you gave first to us. That is a biblical worldview. It's understanding that God is the top of the food chain. It's understanding that we have nothing. We have no talent. We have no ability. We have absolutely nothing if it was not for God's provision. Every talent and every resource that you think you have and you're holding onto in this earth has come from God. There's a basis. There's a starting point. And there begins to be an understanding of what is it for. The chronicler asks, who are we and who are my people that we would give anything to you? For it all belongs to you. So he's understanding that everything that I have, when I'm giving it to God, I'm giving it back to Him, the source of where it all came. That's the core. But the question is a good one. Who are we that we get to manage it? Who are we that we get something from God to do something with? To feed our family, to put a roof over our head, to make a difference in the world. The answer the chronicler well knows is that we are yours. That's why we get the privilege. He was a part of this kingdom of Israel, this nation that God had called to be His kingdom of priests and a holy nation to all the world. They were a chosen people. Who are we that we have from you and we get to give back to you? Who are we? We belong to you. If you have confessed yourself as a Christian and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're under that same covenant. In the New Testament, we hear Peter use that same Old Testament, Exodus 19 passage, says, you're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. You have a mission and a purpose in the world. And that mission and purpose in the world means it's more than raising your family, going to work, paying your taxes, and someday die. That you have a mission and a purpose, and your mission and your purpose is bigger than the stuff of the world. Your mission and purpose has a kingdom agenda. Your mission and purpose follows what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give me today what I need daily so that I can do your kingdom and do your will. It's a purpose in which we live. And God gives according to that purpose. We can see it kind of in three ways: God's generosity to us, God's generosity through us to create praise and thanksgiving in us and out of us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as he's helping the early church, the early Christians in Corinth, begin to understand who this generous God is and why he is so generous to his people. He says in chapter 9 these words. We looked at them last week. I want to bring them again as the basics. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Okay? You got the seed to plant, to produce, and then the means from that seed creates what we need to eat. In the same way, God will provide and increase your resource and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. It's all coming from God. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, not just financially, it says in every way, spiritually, emotionally, in your talent, in your ability, in your time. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be what? Generous from the mouth of a child. So you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. And I love verse 12. It says, so two good things will result from this ministry of generosity. The needs of believers are met, just in this particular case in Jerusalem. And what else happens? They will joyfully express what? Their thanksgiving to God. Okay? Thanksgiving to God. Now, I know that all of us have been generous at various times, and maybe you've taken a meal to someone, or you've been generous to someone or someone, and what did you want in return? You might say nothing, but sometimes deep down we're like, isn't there a thank you or a thank you note coming back? Maybe somebody didn't write a thank you and said, were they really, did they get the gift? Now, certainly it is right to respond in thanks. That's just hospitality. But is this the thanks need to come to you or me? Not ultimately. Because the point of generosity that comes from a Christian is not to point people to you or me, it's to point people to who?
God.
Very good. To God. That's what Paul's trying to teach the Christians about. He says, God is being generous to you so that it can flow through you and bring a thanksgiving to the world. In fact, it might look a little bit like this generosity triangle. We understand it in the same way we understand the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father creates us, the Son redeems us, the Holy Spirit sends us into the world. So we look at generosity. Generosity comes from God to us. It flows through the church, through his people, into the world, which creates in the world a gift of thanksgiving that flows back to who? God. In that way, God's kingdom agenda is advanced. If we get in the way of our own desire for thanksgiving, or we get in the way of this all belongs to me, then somewhere along the way we cut the cord as to where we eventually want to be as the kingdom agenda of God, drawing people to God. See, there's no greater purpose that any of us will ever have on the face of the earth than to point people to Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. There's no more significant thing you'll do is bring your family to the Lord. There's no more significant thing you'll do is bring your friends to the Lord. I always say, as much time as I have on the face of the earth, I'm going to take as many people to heaven with me as I can. That's the role of a Christian. And everything that we have, we steward because it comes from God in order to accomplish that means and that purpose. So ultimately, it's about kingdom multiplication. Okay? Ultimately, it's about that. Everything we do is about kingdom multiplication. It's all over the place. In Genesis chapter 1, we see it open up in verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and what? Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. This wasn't just about procreation. This is before the fall. Okay? This is before Adam and Eve sinned and walked away from God. God created humanity in his image to advance his image into the world. It was kingdom multiplication. And then the fall. What happened in the fall? The biblical worldview changed to a cultural worldview. Satan came into Adam and Eve and said, it's not about God, it's about you. These are your talents and your abilities, and you can be smarter than God. That's what happened in the fall. It began about us rather than God. But what we see when we move through the scriptures is how God's people begin to get hold of this multiplication. What happens when a hand is raised and says, I'm in, God. I'm for your glory. I'm for serving you. Everything I have is from you, so put me in the game, coach. There's one beautiful passage in the New Testament, a story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the most popular stories in all of Scripture, but it's about a little boy who raised his hand, and you got to see the multiplication of it. The event was there were a lot of people that were gathering around Jesus. Jesus was teaching them, and it was coming to the end of the day, and all the food was gone. So there's two solutions. One is feed them or leave them, right? Feed them or leave them. So basically, the disciples were saying, we don't have any resource. We can't feed them. Send them home. There's not enough stores around to go buy food. In fact, we don't have enough money. There's all these excuses, all this fear. We can't do this. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. And up comes the disciples say, well, there is one little boy. He's got a lunch. If we steal it from him, not that. If we can convince him to raise his hand and say, put me in the game, Jesus, we'll get to see what Jesus does. So the little boy comes up, hey, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He says, I'll give you what I have. I think you might have understood it all came from God, so he's going to give it up, okay? Jesus lifts it up, he gives thanks, and he takes the food, and disciples distribute it among the 20,000 plus people. And at the end of it, there's 12 baskets flowing over of leftovers. See, whenever somebody raises their hand and say, put me in the game, coach, there's multiplication. Happens every time. Happens every time. When someone in this church raises their hand and says, I want to be a part of helping in children's ministry, you just open the door for 6 more children to have a chance to hear about Jesus. You might say, well, I thought that was going on. No, kingdom multiplication is always personal. It always advances because God put us in the game. We can't have more children back there that are learning about Jesus than we have people to care for them. So if we have limited people to care for them, there's less children that can learn about Jesus. Whenever someone raises their hand and says, I want to help student ministry on Sunday night. I want to mentor other students. I want to help them. You are allowing your multiplication. You're allowing 6 to 10 more students to learn about Jesus. Because we can't have 50 or 60 students when there's nobody to care for them. See how it works? Whenever you raise a hand like a little boy and you say, put me in the game, coach, there's an automatic direct correlation of multiplication that happens because we're involved. We see it all over the place at CDK. You can multiply that factor over and over and over. There was a need for feeding in this community. We were feeding about 15 families a week in our food pantry. There was a need, and we asked, and people raised their hand. Because of raising of hand, now there's 60 to 80 families every week that are fed. There's a direct correlation to a little boy raising his hand and saying, put me in the game, coach, and the exact multiplication that takes place through you. God's generosity to you, his generosity through you to build a thankfulness to the world. We see it all over the place. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts chapter 6, there's a story that's recorded in the early church, and the evangelists, the apostles, were teaching. Okay, this is very early, Acts chapter 6. The church is just getting going. And they're teaching the people. Now, in that story, the church is beginning to advance because of the spreading of the gospel. But there begins to be a hiccup in the church, and the church begins to level off. Anybody ever been a part of that with church? Begins to level off. Why does the church level off? Levels off because there's not enough hands raised. Okay? It's always the case, all right? Because it builds conflict. That was going on in this case. And what was happening to level off is there was a struggle going on in the church and in the community. And the struggle that was going on in church and community was the preaching was happening, people were being saved, but their widows were starving. No one was taking care of the need that was presenting itself in the church. So what was going to take place? What might have taken place was that the teachers needed to go over here and start feeding the widows. So what happened to the teachers? They didn't have time to teach. They didn't have time to prepare the word, to preach the gospel. So everything began to level off. The church stopped growing. So what was the solution? They asked for 7 people who would raise their hand and take on the ministry of the multiplication of feeding the widows. Seven people raised their hand, they anointed them, they set them apart, they started this ministry that began to be impactful. The teachers began to go back to the teaching and the spreading of the gospel, and this is the result in Acts chapter 6. It says, and the word of God now, this is after, continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. These weren't Christian priests, these were Jewish priests. They were converting to Christianity. Isn't that amazing? Because the hands were raised, multiplication could happen again. We see it in Paul. Paul was headed to Damascus to kill Christians. We know the story on the Damascus Road. He was blinded. Jesus spoke to him out of the cloud, said, why are you persecuting me? For the first time, Paul began to put together this Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah with the person of Jesus. Not quite understanding it, he goes to Damascus. Ananias prays over him. His scales from his eyes, he can now see. I think there's more than just physical seeing that was taking place. They were praying over him. He was beginning to connect the dots that he had been unable to connect. He was blind to it, which is much the case. I see this, but I can't see the connection. He begins to preach. Well, all the Christians are afraid of him because last they knew he was out to kill them. The Jews no longer like him because he's now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're trying to kill him by throwing him over a wall. He's lowered down by a basket. But even with all that, he raises his hands, put me in the game, coach. I'm going to preach. Because this is the talent and gift God has given to me. He has no idea about raising his hand, the impact it will have, and neither do you. When you say, put me in the game, coach, you have no idea the ripple effect of that ministry. You also have no idea the cost it's going to have in your life. But that's the adventure. What we see in the person of Paul, this is what happens in Acts 9:31. It says, so the church throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria. Paul could never imagine in that moment that it would spread even that far. They had peace and were being built up. And they were walking in the fear and awe of the Lord, meaning they were converting, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the church, what? Multiplied. Paul said, put me in the game. Not fear, but faith. Now, how does that happen for any of us? How's it happen for me? How's it happen for you? If we're sitting there thinking, am I in the game? Have I said, God, what I have is yours? Do I have a worldview? Do I have a biblical view? How do I start? Meryl and I begin to reflect on that a little bit in our own lives and say, what are the patterns? And last week we really opened up this generosity piece. Today I want to just give you some practical steps. How do you get started, and how do you begin to order your life in a biblical worldview? What does it look like? Six pieces I put down here for you. They're in your outline and for your study through the week. Number one is this: look in the mirror. Do some self-assessment. Don't look to the left or right. Don't consider that person's gift or that person's gift. They can do more than I can do, and they can do less than I. This isn't about comparison. This is about integrity. This is about looking in the mirror and looking to God and saying, this is the gifts you've given to me. This is the grace you poured on me. Ephesians 4:7 says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Everybody has a different gift set. Everybody has a different personality. Everybody has a different grace aspect of influence. The question is to be integrity to what that is as you look in the mirror and face God. And that's the second piece. Look to God. Look to God and say, this is what you want me to steward. I've written down, these are the gifts you've given to me. These are the advantages I have in the world. This is the place you've put me of influence. These are the talents that you've poured out. This is the income that you're providing through the talents and gifts you've given to me. This is the place of privilege that I am in. It is all for your glory. I now begin to steward it as you would have me live. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit everything you do, and he will establish your plans. We know that Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, and everything will be added to you. But it starts with committing everything to God, and He will establish you. Number three is this: live into God's promises. That's a hard one for any of us because we live in the world, but we're not of it. We live on this balance between a biblical worldview and a secular worldview. Marilyn and I do as well. We have to ask, okay, do I live in a theology of scarcity today, or do I live in a theology of abundance? Am I thinking that what I pour out is less than I have, or am I thinking what I pour out is more? What is God doing in this? It's always a challenge. If I give this time, am I going to be able to get done all the things that I want to do with my time? Hear that? My time. Okay? There's always this wrestling that goes back and forth. I'm in it, you're in it. It's always a constant. Do I really trust God as the provider? Do I really trust what God is saying through Paul in Corinthians that He will increase a generosity to be able to create more generosity in and through me? Or is there a cutoff point? Is there a limitation? Is there a place that it's overdone? So there's a process of beginning to believe the promise of God. There's a beautiful example of it in Malachi 3. In verse 10, he says, bring the full tithe, in essence, the first 10%, the first fruits of everything you have, your time, talents, treasures, everything. Bring it to the storehouse, in essence, give it to God, that there would be food, in essence, that the needs of the world will be met. And thereby put me to the test, he says. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. Now, we talked about need. Need is a culmination of lots of things. We all have different needs depending on where we are, but we all have need. What the Lord is saying is pour out everything first to me and watch if I don't start meeting that need. It might be a social need. Watch if I don't put people in your life who matter. It might be an emotional need. Watch if I don't give you and connect you to the people who can sow into your life in a powerful way. It might be a need for care and help to raise up your children. Watch if I don't surround you with people who can mentor you and support you. See, all that comes from God. I often tell people when they're out of work, there's lots of things we can do if you're out of work. We can really try to jump for another job, look for another job, rightly so. You want to be using the talents you have. If you're able to work, the Bible says you should work. If the Bible says if you have talents, those talents should be used in those ways. But there's times we're in between. What do? Often I've said to somebody, well, it sounds like you got more time. What are you going to do for the Lord during this time off? If you're in between jobs, serve the Lord radically. And with the interesting thing that happens when that goes on, how God begins to open the windows of heaven. How doors open, opportunities arise, begin to meet people over here and meet people over here, and jobs begin to fall into place. And this, I don't know how God does it all, but I do know that if we give Him first, everything else gets added in. That's what He's talking about. Now, there's a second part of this as well in verse 12 that I do not want you to underestimate. In verse 11, it says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Nobody in this room or nobody watching online wants to be devoured. New Testament says that Satan roars around like a lion seeking someone to devour. That's already talked about in the Old Testament. So we need a defender. We need to know and count on God that if we're putting God first in our lives, then He is working supernaturally in and through our lives, through our children, through our parents, through our grandparents, through our household, to rebuke the devourer, that which would consume us. That's what was going on in Israel when Jeremiah is proclaiming. They'd all become disobedient to God, and the world was eating them for lunch. But when they turned back to God, it began to heal their families and their households and their children. It's like the devourer was being rebuked. Do not underestimate. These are things we don't need to question. They're things we just need to believe. We need to live into the promises and know that God is establishing it so that He can establish you. Number four is order your days. I know we all operate a little bit differently. Some people like a lot of lists, check off the list. Some people are very ordered in how they process. Generosity starts with order. God is the God of order. He takes chaos and brings order to it. What that means is I have to plan to be generous. It doesn't just happen. We might think generosity is all impromptu. No, it's not. It's a matter of preparing your life to be available. And how do you prepare your life to be available? I once taught a series on living in the margins. You know, do we fill up the whole white page, or we only fill up the section in the middle and you got room on the outside? See, life's out of order. When Meryl and I are sitting down and we're thinking about how do we want to be generous for the year, we're saying, okay, the first tithe goes to the gospel, the church. Then after that, what does God want us to do beyond that? How does he want us to serve in the community, time, talent, and treasures? What does he want us to be building over here? What does he want us to be building over here? Have we put all that down and begin to order our lives? If this is what we want to give, then this is where we need to live. We're creating that generosity framework through order. The same is true with our time and our abilities. If I've got no more time and no more way to use the ability, then I can't use the gifts God has given me to advance the gospel in Burundi or Guatemala or wherever. There has to be an order by which we think about it. Same is true for you. Same is true for me. Number five is this. Use your gifts and talents in the measure you've been given. That goes a little bit about number one, where you look in the mirror. First Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. Use your talents and gifts in the measure in which you've been given. Okay? If it's a lot, pour out a lot. If it's a little, pour out a little. Everyone who has, but I tell you, every time you pour out your talent, what happens to your talent? It doesn't decrease, it increases. You're getting better and better and better. God is using it. Number six is this, savor the joy. I have yet to meet an unjoyful, generous person, but I've met a whole lot of people that are pretty grumpy. Okay? You cannot be generous and not joyful. God has laid it out that way. The giving and pouring out yourself, serving other people, builds a lifestyle in you that builds a joy and an aspect in your life that is just incredible. And it's biblical. John says, Jesus writes in John 15, it says, if you keep my commandments, in essence, live in their way, you will abide in my love just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy made what? Full. Okay? It's part of his plan. It's part of what he wants you to do. And I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss out on it, because you're unaware of his promises, are unaware of what he wants to give you. He already has laid it out. You don't want half the gospel, you want all of it. Now, as we talked about last week, this is an incredibly generous church. Many of you have raised your hands many times and said, I'm in the game, put me in the game, coach. Many of you have poured out. In fact, 2023 was one of the most generous years in 2022 in the building of this church, in 2023 that I've known in the history I've been here at CTK. Tremendous outpouring. And that generosity, when it's outpour, when someone raises his hand, what happens? Multiplication happens. When there's not hands raised, multiplication doesn't happen. Okay? When we're in the game saying, God, I want to do through it, incredible things to be in advance. When it's not, things begin to shrink. It's a natural direct correlation as to what happens. So I want you to take a look at some of these as we go into this week. We'll look particularly at local and international ministries. Last week we looked at what's going on inside. I want you to understand where your generosity, hands are raised, are impacting other places in the world. We'll look first just at local outreach. Under local outreach in and through this congregation are several aspects. One is an aspect through Steel Creek Community Place Partnership. It's a second nonprofit that was developed that's growing to connect people in the community to provide a place for people to be. And in that is a playground, there's a gathering space, there's opportunities for mothers of preschoolers that gather, and all kinds of things that happen. We had a zoning hearing here on Thursday night. And the lawyer, after we finished the zoning meeting, we were walking out, and he said, I want to take a look around, because he hadn't been here in a while. We looked around, and he looked in the playground, he looked over in the cafe, he looked at everything, and he says, you mean this is just open for people to come to in a week? I said, yeah. He says, well, they don't have to pay anything? No, it's open for them. It's just there. It's incredible what's going on. This past Monday was President's Day. Were any of you here at CTK on President's Day? There's a couple of you. Well, about 70 kids were in that playground. You weren't here, but they were here. We had to actually close the playground because it was so full. And that didn't count kids. I mean, didn't count parents that were in there with them. Okay, so it's just crazy what's going on. But there's a neat neat story. One of the ladies that uses the playground regularly, brings her kids here, had a little bit to say. Take a look.
Hi, my name is Sherelle Janvier. I live in the Tiga K community, and my son and I visit the Steel Creek Community Place maybe 2 to 3 times a week. We really, really love the Steel Creek Community Place. It's a great community resource. We learned about the resource about 4 months ago, and we've really been able to, you know, just develop a sense of community. I've been able to, you know, develop some mommy friends. My son is able to meet other children. He's also able to have play dates with other children from his school. And so it's been a great place to, you know, meet mommy friends and to have play dates and to have my son engage with other children there at the community place. I've definitely been able to expand my support network and to meet more mommy friends. We share community resources, referrals for babysitting. And so it's really just been a great place to gather and to bring the kids. The Steel Creek Community Place has really made a difference in our family life. It's a great community resource where I can bring my laptop because I work remotely and I'm able to watch my child have a good time and engage with other children in a safe environment while I'm able to work. And so I think it's just an invaluable community resource. And I'm so happy that someone shared this resource with myself.
Some really, really cool testimonies of people seeing. It's also kind of funny, you know, it's hard to go in and take pictures of kids playing in playgrounds, right? All this photo stuff. So I thought it's kind of interesting that we have our children's minister, the one playing in the playground, because we get free photo license with her. But fun times in there. Come by, drop by, see what's happening. And the only limitation of the growth of Steel Creek Community Place is hands raised, volunteer serving and hosting and open it up as to what that looks like. Another one is Mothers of Preschoolers, what's now called MomCo. And same kind of way, that ministry has grown radically with hands raised. It grows more when there's more people to care for kids and more people to mentor these moms. But Lindsay Jackman heads up with a team, that ministry. Listen to what she's got to say. Pretty cool.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Jackman, and I have been serving with MOPS, or MomCo, as we were about to change our name, for the last few years. It's been a really impactful community for me. I joined when I was pregnant with my second child, my middle daughter, and it was truly life-changing. When we had our son, we didn't have a community of other moms around us, and to then have my daughter be welcomed into this community with the support and encouragement of other moms knowing exactly what a new mom needs, it was really impactful for our family. I personally have seen God move through MOPS in so many ways, not only the love that was poured onto me in my time of need, but now seeing it pour out to other moms as they find their way to this community. And it's not always necessarily the video that we show or the speaker that we have, but sometimes the side conversations where certain moms will be able to express their needs and other moms are able to fill that and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving through these moms to bring this community together of love and support. It's truly such an impactful time that we get to have together.
Well, beautiful leaders that are part of that ministry and just the incredible impact that goes on. But other aspects of local ministries, our partnership with Puerto Nuevo Church, it was started out of here. They meet down at Cookout now, and it's a neat growing situation. You'll see some pictures of Pastor Frank and Pastor Rosa. He's preached here before, but it goes on every week. It's going on locally in the community and all the serving that that church does for the sake of Jesus Christ. Javeska Partner, coffee partnership that allows us to have the cafe going, the YMCA partnership that's here on campus with after-school care and all the other events that Y does. Those are ways of local outreach that are going on. Another big one that many of you are aware of is our food ministry. We do a lot with food in connection with food in the life of this congregation, the food pantry, which I mentioned has grown tremendously. And one of the recipients of that food pantry had a few words to say, didn't want to be seen on the film, but wanted you to hear the impact it's having in their life. Take a look.
Hi there, my name is Virginia, and I would just like to say how much I appreciate being able to come to the food pantry here. I pick up food and share it with my three other sisters that are, one is 78 and the other two are in their 80s. I share it with them, and it has been just such a blessing. We are on fixed income, but our income is not fixed low. It's fixed on what our whole input, but we believe God will give us or what he has blessed us with. And once again, the pantry has been such a blessing to us, and it frees up some finances for us to be a more blessing to our churches, giving more and just sharing with other people.
Beautiful to see every Wednesday at 5:30. I think it's 5:30 or 6. 5 o'clock. Come out here and see that impact that's going on. And not just there, public school outreach. Pastor Kyle and others reach out to Southwest Middle School. It's one area that we try to encourage the teachers there on an ongoing basis. There's some aspects of praying at the poll, encouraging the teachers. In fact, just this past week, sadly, they had a death. Fred Searcy, who is their cafeteria manager, died suddenly of a heart attack. The only living family member that's with him is his 19-year-old daughter. What do you do with all that? So they reach out and say, can you help? So we raised our hand, said, how can we help? So we'll do his funeral here this coming Saturday and share with the family. The cafeteria will be providing food. And we've been talking with the daughter, planning, helping her plan and walk through these next steps. And because we raise our hand, we'll have a chance to share the gospel with over 300 people. That's multiplication. It's just being available to say, how can we help? Here we go. Let's do this together. God works in incredible ways in the midst of all of that. Aspects. So lots of other ways it's going on. Family partnership, which is a critical ministry. We need a lot more hands raised in that area, to be honest. Family partnership is not giving a hand out, but a hand up. It's when you're partnering with families that are struggling, that need regular coaching and need people to meet with them on a regular basis in order to get life kind of coming together. Right now, I think we take on one. Every hand is raised, takes on more as a part of that. Community festivals are outreaches. You'll see some pictures of these, whether it's the multicultural festival or the spring festival or fall or Christmas, all these ways by which hundreds of people come on this campus and experience the love of Jesus in really pretty cool ways. The angel tree gifting, incredible generosity. That tree goes up, and about 90 kids are on that tree for adoption for Christmas. And if you're not here in week one, you don't get a name. That's generosity. It is wonderful to see and the impact that these kids in the community share. So all those just local ministries, what's going on right here, this region of Charlotte and community. But you're also involved through your generosity internationally. We're involved in Burundi, Africa, in Guatemala, and also Slovakia. You heard from Pastor Yancey in Slovakia just a few weeks back. But let's take a look at Burundi, Africa for one. Pastor Eric and his team have a little bit to say, and I'll share a little bit more about that in a moment in those two ministries.
Hello, CTK. I'm Samuel Praise from Grace Community Church in Burundi, Bujumbura. I'm worship leader. Thank you for your prayers and support. Our church is making impact through evangelism. Thank you.
Shalom, shalom, CTK. I'm Kadi Kelly Katia. I'm leading 21 Home Cell for Young. Thank you for support. We love you.
Hello, CTK. Thank you. This is a team among the leaders. This is Blaise. He's leading the feeding program and he's our admin. And thank you for your prayers and your support as we are doing an impact here through evangelism, through home cells. Last year, baptized more than 60. Now we are expecting 100 of new disciples. And the feeding program, we are having more than 20 families but we want to feed even 50 families. That's what we are expecting. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for sending Pastor Craig and the team. May God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Just another way reaching globally. And in that dynamic, Pastor, Jeannie was there serving in that community. She asked us to come and teach mission pastors. Eric was our translator. He became a Christian, said, will you coach me in being a pastor? And we said, we raised our hands. We're happy to help. We'll help. We're the only church that supports that church. That church now worships over 1,000 people. Talking about multiplication, right? Crazy things going on because we raise our hand and we support them and we work with them to help them grow in faith. Amazing happenings through that. Also in Guatemala, many of you are familiar with that ministry, just came back from there. Two locations, Casa Bernabe Orphanage, which ended up being the place that Pastor Dom Reese came and to the States and started Cristo El Rey Church, now Puerto Nuevo, and also fed out to Chimal area, a very impoverished area of Guatemala, where we now have Christ-Seeking Church there and also La Promesa School. When we were there this past time, Sarah had a chance to interview Pastor Erica. Take a look at what she has to say.
So here I am with Pastor Erica Chajon in Chimaltenango, Guatemala. We've been here with a mission team this week, serving here the second week of February of 2024. But it's a pleasure to be here. We've had partnership here in Chimaltenango for the past 17 years. We first met Erica in Casa Bernabe when she was a house mom in 2003, so a long time back. But 17 years here ministering together in Chimaltenango. But tell us a little bit, what does it look like right now, just the impact of the ministry of both the church and also the school? Impacto ha tenido ahorita últimamente la escuela y la iglesia.
En la iglesia, pues ha sido de gran bendición como grupo, ¿verdad? Hemos trabajado en las calles, llevando el evangelio.
So the church, we've been able to evangelize more, we've been able to be out in the streets and to be able to share.
Yo creo que una de las cosas que nos caracteriza en la iglesia es el salir a las calles y llevar la palabra del Señor al necesitado.
So something that characterizes us as a church is to be able to go out into the street to evangelize and share the gospel with people.
Uh-huh. Y en la promesa, pues viendo la bondad, el amor del Señor, las sorpresas que Dios está dando para nosotros.
And with La Promesa, the school, we've been able to see like just the miraculous things and how God has been working, the beauty of this new property here that we have,
una nueva propiedad.
And so many things over this recent time.
Sí. Y eso nos ha ayudado pues a poder apoyar a más niños y con la bendición que próximamente tendremos de la construcción, vamos a poder apoyar a más chicos aquí en nuestra comunidad.
So here with the new property, it even opens up the opportunity to open this blessing up to even more children from our community with the new land right now, but also the building that's to come within the next year, and so that's been a huge blessing.
Así que gracias a ustedes.
So thank you to you all.
Por ser parte de este proyecto, por amarnos como nos aman y seguir ayudándonos a expandir el reino de Dios.
And to help us to continue to expand the kingdom of God here.
Así que Dios les bendiga.
So may God bless you all.
Just an amazing story and emergence of that ministry and the evolution of that ministry as it has grown in really cool ways. Another nonprofit board that started out this congregation, Matthew 25:40, is people that serve in this congregation, started that board that funds that ministry and that school. That board a couple years ago raised $250,000 to buy land. This year they're going to raise $500,000 to build a church and school. Talking about generosity and multiplication, amen? God doing incredible things, generosity in and through you. A couple other areas you may not be aware that started out this congregation, Javeska Feeds, which is a global feeding organization that feeds in these countries you can see on the screen. You'll see a few of the pictures of feeding in Guatemala and in Africa, Cambodia, Charlotte area with the Dream Center, raises funds strictly for feeding ministry, frontline feeding programs that are transforming communities. There's much of the board of that organization in this congregation, but raises really resources around the Carolinas and the nation. And we also mentioned Matthew 25:40, which is a partnership with La Promesa School. And you can see some of the pictures of that school and the impact that they're having as well. There's the kids lined up, the land and the building that was purchased, and then the construction that'll go on this next year. So pretty cool things, right? Whenever a hand is raised, multiplication of God's kingdom agenda flows. Ways that are happening locally and around us and internationally and globally is really, really, really cool. Thank you for the ways that you're generous and what God is doing for you to live through you in thanksgiving to God, to the world. Pretty amazing ways in what's going on. As we wrap up in these Impact Sundays, one thing we always think about is how do I need to be involved and what is God calling me to do? I asked you last week to really think about. We handed out a card for you, what we call a pledge card, an intention card. There's some others that are around here. If you didn't receive one, there's some ushers that have one. If you'll just raise your hand, they'll get one to you, and you can look at that. We have any ushers in the room. Go ahead and hand them out, if you will. And the hand's coming up. Go ahead and raise those, and you can see what those look like. But it's an opportunity just to begin to plan, think, and pray, as we shared last week. I know for Meryl and I, we sat down this week filling out our card, thinking about what do we want to give financially for the impact of the ministry. We also thought about, as we checked the boxes on the bottom, how do we want to serve our time and abilities? For us, obviously, I'm employed in a church. Marilyn is not. She serves her time and abilities in hospitality. I serve a lot of time and abilities doing ministries in other places on the globe. So I want you to think about that. If you're not in a place by which you said, I'm giving financially, but I'm really not involved, I can help out somewhere, write on there where that is so we can get in touch with you. There's huge need. It might be kids. It might be outreach. It might be mission. At a zoning meeting, we had Thursday night, we had a woman that lives on the back property that doesn't go to any church. She said, hey, do y'all do mission? We talked all about mission. Can I go? People want to serve and want to make a difference. This is an opportunity just to write that down, because all we're doing today is you're going to give it to God. And we're going to pray over it and allowing the work and move. So I want to give you a few minutes to sit together with your family. If you're here as a single, that's awesome, good. Pray, ask God, what do you want us to do? How do you want me to be? If you have a card and you want to fill it out, we'll bring it up and put it in the offering basket when we come up for Holy Communion in just a few moments. So go ahead and take a moment with God and yourself.